Doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent, creativity, determination, preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
You calling me a coward? Young man, I've done things that would make the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Rocky?
Do you think that's some information I would like to know?
Extended family with a great GM will be 13-3. We're all about positivity. Hashtag faith.
Genius.
Brilliant.
Idiot. Moron. Imbecile. What a Morris.
Well, there's no room for crab babies in our world. There really isn't.
The Viking.
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay.
Yo, what up, Tennessee?
Welcome back to the spotlight, young man.
Here we go. I'm the one.
He's the clown from Brown.
Yeah.
He's the fourth in the north.
Absolutely.
This is the common man, Dan Cole.
Yep, it is. Cole, Dead Ring of Mortis, Layton. All out, you know. Genevieve, where's that open about what keeps common man awake at night? Could you play that? We have so many different news segments that really don't get a lot of traction. It's sort of like a bald tire in a blizzard. They just don't go anywhere. I just like listening to it. I feel that if Dave Allen's put in all that work to do these silly little opens for segments, that if I don't play him, it's like I've wasted his time.
Yes.
It's similar to like when you go to all the trouble to find a podcast from one of the top 20 Barrett Sports Media midday talk show hosts in the country, and I say, let's play it and poke fun at them and see where we have to go, get to reach that their plateau, and then I don't play it. You go look for it. You listen through it. How long does that take you?
Well, I mean, I to find the exact episode you want, to Google them, and then you got to listen to, you know, 10 minutes of the skit, and sometimes I go through multiple segments
right.
because I just didn't think it was worthy enough.
Right.
And yeah, it could take a good 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah. So wasting 20 to 30 minutes of your time, it's probably not fair. It's probably not right. So go ahead, play the What Keeps Me Up at Night, because I have a new one.
It's time now for Things That Keep Coming. Common Up at Night.
And this is a recent. Now I want to talk about something else. I'm thinking this is.
I always love
this. Is
one.
All you need to know about why I might need assisted living now. This is what's happened to me since the middle of the night last night.
Okay.
And out at the golf course today. What? Okay. Halfway through my round. Here's what's happened. Got up last night in the middle of the night. Had a headache. I get up often at night because the only thing bigger than my ego is my prostate. So I have to use the restroom. But I woke up and I had a headache because I haven't seen my chiro. I'm seeing him next week. Sometimes when I get out of whack, I'll get a headache in the middle of the night. So I went down to go get my bottle of aspirin, which is in my satchel or my briefcase, whatever, sitting down in the main floor formal dining room by the front door where I come in every night. And as I walk down there, I notice the glow of the computer screen from the office. Someone's forgotten to turn the computer off, and Deuce was the last person I saw there. I went to bed before Deuce last night. And the office is right off of the main door as well. If you walk into my house, to the right is the office, to the left is the formal dining room. So I go in to turn off the computer, grumbling a little bit. I'm now keeping track of how many times I get annoyed a day. We've done this bit, haven't we? That's another one. How many times is common? I think we have an open for that, love that actually, one. Somewhere. How many times has Common Man been annoyed today? Look. Italians invented the word vendetta. Is there an open that says how many times has Common annoyed today? Something similar to it, isn't it?
I don't believe so.
No. Well, get
it. It looks like you might have had it was a 2003 Gadfly annoyance of the day.
I bet that's it. Play that once.
It's time now for the City Pages 2003 Gadfly of the Year's annoyance of the day.
Yeah, but that
not
was
not really
it.
Counting.
No, but I bet that was it. Where I would, boy, that's quite the gadfly. I'd like to swat him. With a newspaper, fish wrap, east or west. Yeah, because I think I probably had these annoyance things, and then I would once a day. But now it's the whole 3 hours could be with my. Do you know my youngest son lives to, I think, I looked at him last night, baby brother Peter, and I said, I think you spend every waking moment looking for ways to annoy me. And he laughed, because he basically does.
I always love that one.
He'll sit at the kitchen table during dinner. And he'll tap his fingernails on the glass, on his drinking glass, just over and over and over again. Because I'll be eating, and then all of a sudden I'll hear clink, 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 clink. And then I look at him, and he laughs. He thinks it's so funny.
I wonder where he would get that from.
I don't know. Not from his father. Here's another one he likes to do. He knows that when we get out of the car, either at the basketball tournament or at home or after practice, I like to get out and then hit the lock so I lock all the doors before going in, right? And I can't lock them all if he's still in, because when he gets out, that'll leave one door unlocked. So he'll intentionally take a long time to get out of the car, knowing
you've
got to
be kidding
that
me.
I want to hurry up and get in there. And he thinks that's funny. He finds that amusing. You find this funny, BBP? You're smiling and laughing. He's Doug growing me every day. I guess
does
I'm just,
he know funny? Because you know funny.
Yes, I guess I'm getting a taste of my own medicine.
Yeah.
But I come downstairs and I'm annoyed because somebody's left the computer on. I walk through the, and there are two, you know, I don't know if they, are they called French doors? You know, the two doors that come together and you open them up? One of them is closed. And I know this when I walk in. But I get confused, and on the way out, I'm groggy, right? Sleeping with my eyes, no glasses on. I walk right into the door. No! Into the glass door. Like, what's the commercial where it's, they have a series of things that you wouldn't like that you think are funny. And they have the guy walking into glass doors and he starts laughing, or sitting on something. And
Geico or is it an insurance company?
I think it might be Geico. That's it. So I walked right into that door, smashed my forehead into the glass door and my knee. Now, I didn't burst through it. But that was number one, was walking into a glass door. When I just walked through the door, noticed one of them was closed. But I got in my confusion when I turned around. Sure. It was now a mirror image.
Yeah.
And I walked into the wrong door. Next thing is Master Professional Craig Warren and I hit our tee shots on the ninth hole at the Royal Golf Club in Lake Elmo. I start driving up the eighth fairway, and Craig has to go, and I'm looking, and I can't see where I go. Well, Craig, where did you go? I could have swore you hit it right up the middle. He goes, Common, you're driving up the wrong fairway. The wrong fairway.
You've got to be kidding me.
So I'm going up. I'm actually going backwards on 8th fairway. I'm headed toward 8 tee box.
There wasn't anyone hitting at you, was
no,
there?
No. We were the first ones out. There wasn't anybody right away. And then he asked me, how are we doing on time? And I look at my watch and I put it on upside down. I think it's 10 after 3.
You've got to be kidding me.
I think the Savvy Afternoon Gabathon is 10 minutes into his show. Again, none of them had the potential to kill me, I guess, unless I walked through that glass door that a sharded glass severed my jugular. But how do you do those three things? I get in for the senior admission when I go to basketball if it's 55 or more. But how does this happen? I walk into a glass door. I drive up the wrong fairway. I don't know how I got the two fairways confused. And then I had my watch on upside down. It reminds me of the time I got up to leave the house. I picked up my satchel. The handle fell off. Then I went to the door, and the doorknob came off. I was afraid to go to the bathroom.
I always love that one.
Yoga pants. Breasts.
Brilliant.
You know what keeps me up at night now? Wondering if Tenneby won his bets or lost his bets. I'm obsessed with your betting patterns.
Bet. Starting to keep me up at night, too.
Is it really? Yeah. Because your reputation is being, fuck.
In my pocketbook.
I can outsmart every bookie in town. I don't know how well it's doing, but we'll check that later. Yeah. I can hardly wait for one. We might have to move that segment up to the first segment right out of the gate. Because it's hard for me to even wait till 1:15. But we will. When we come back, Tenneby, no, it's not the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Oh, I know what it is with the Twins, and I've known all along, and I'll explain it to you when we come back to the Common Man program here on the Fan.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword BANK to 200-200.
Coming on the Fan today is brought to you by Prism Research.
It's the amount of heating and air conditioning weather forecast from Common Man World Headquarters here on the Sports Animal. Got about a 40% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Ooh, yeah. I should be in the low 80s tonight. We should have a low near upper 60s. And then tomorrow, Mercury should play tag with 89. Right now in the Twin Cities, 78 degrees, 1976. Jay Ferguson, Thunder Island, your home for the hits. FM 100.3, the Sports Animal. A lot of slurry there. A lot of chocolate chip cookie spit. I tried to jam that down before I got to the end of the break. We have a guest in studio, Steve. Spent hundreds of dollars to watch the Common Man program. The money going to charity, I don't pocket any of it. Though, you know, gratuity would be nice. You know, you don't mind if you think it's a job well done. And when we went to break, he mentioned that he, too, will often check the sports scores to see how Tenneby's bets have gone. He said, and I'm rooting for Tenneby because I like him. And I go, that's amazing because I like him, but it's just the opposite. I'm rooting against him.
Well,
why would that be?
Judging by my Twitter account, most people are rooting against me.
Are they? Yeah. I wonder why that would be.
So thank you, Steve, for being one of the few.
He's one of the few that actually...
The few, the proud.
Roots in your favor, while the most of us... why do we take... why do we take glee in your failures? I don't know. It's just more fun that way. I guess it's the bigger they are, the harder the four. The more you cock off about what a great gambler you are and how you just can't wait for sports betting to get here because I'm going to make a killing, even though you really didn't say that, but I've made it seem like you did. People just say, oh, well, okay. And so they like to see you. You know what I'm beginning to think? And this isn't a new thought pattern. But I'm beginning to believe this has more to do with the Twins' success last year than I thought it did. And that would be they're in just an awful division. And we've known that, right? But I was also thinking, they're starting to put it together. They got some good young talent, and they were doing it really without the benefit of great pitching. I mean, they had Santana and Berríos. Then when they made all the moves, when they got the Lance Lynn guy, I'm all right with that. I thought, okay, if he is all he's cracked up to be, that would be bulldog, eats up a lot of innings, keeps you in games. You figured Snow and Buxton would probably get better. You like the Jake, I like my eggs, Odorizzi. And then, I liked adding a power bat, a guy who, again, was only the 1 year he had 38, but you think, Slow-mo can approach that again. And coming off last year's success and additions to the bullpen and the weak division, maybe we're finally onto something here. But I'm beginning to realize it was all smoke and mirrors. It was because of the division they play in. The reason they were able to have a good second half last year is they were playing, it was top-heavy with Kansas City, Detroit, and Chicago. And again, I've said it many times, it's the Twins don't put together the White Sox, the Tigers, and the Royals farm systems. They don't put their bullpens together, their starting rotations, their big league lineup. They don't hire the managers, the coaches. They can't help it that geographically they're in the same basic location, upper Midwest or Midwest as Chicago, Detroit, and Kansas City are. That's not their fault, so I'm not blaming them for it, but it covers up and masks what they really are. They're just a mediocre baseball team. I mean, they win two games last night. Lance Lynn looks like Christy Mathewson. Looks like Cy Young, finally, right? I mean, he goes into the game with an ERA of infinity.
Yeah.
And last night, what was it, 7-8 innings of shutout
six
ball?
Six and two-thirds, I think.
Scatters a bunch of hits. And I'm not trying to take any credit away from Lance Lynn. You've heard me say this before. It's better to beat up on an inferior opponent than get beat by an inferior opponent, right?
Sure.
Beat the teams you're supposed to beat and the teams you're not supposed to, try to get a handful from them. And then the ones where you're even with, try to split with them and you'll probably have a pretty good season, right? And that's the Twins haven't done that yet, but that's coming now. Look at last night. Did I see this? Is Detroit Fish Wrap Factory? This seems just astonishing to me. It's Fish Wrap Factory West Side. Twins win 6-0. Go to the jump. And what does it say about the Tigers? They dealt Detroit their seventh shutout loss of the season. And have held
the Tigers
to a 161 batting average in the series. Shut out seven times and we're only a quarter of the way through the season? How bad is that everyday lineup? I mean, it must be awful. And I didn't watch much of either of the two games. I watched a bit of it. I turn it on, it's 3-0. I just go, well, I'm going elsewhere. This game, if you get up 3-0 on Detroit, the game's over. This is where the Brian Dozier unwritten rules need to come into play. Detroit should just not even bother at that point, right? As a matter of fact, what I think the Tigers, the Royals, and the White Sox should do, Tenneby, is they should take a lead from Major League Baseball and USA Baseball. Did you see the modifications they've made for youth baseball?
I did not.
MLB and USA Baseball are promoting a modified version of youth baseball with fewer innings, batters, and pitchers to pick up the pace. Here are the recommended rules. 6-inning games. Be perfect for the Tigers. They're out of it by the fourth. Why go to 9 innings, right? 4 batters per inning. The Tigers could send 9 guys up to the plate. They couldn't score a run. You could give them 9 outs. And they would get 9 outs. That's what they would get. No one would reach base.
4 batters an inning?
3 swings per batter with no balls or strikes.
Huh?
Called on taking pitches. If you take them, no balls or strikes are called.
Okay.
Just Throw
just
it.
Get three total.
You just get three. Three swings.
What if so all you can three of them are like 2 feet off the plate?
I don't know. I'm just reading what it says. Three swings per batter with no balls or strikes called on taking pitches. If the ball's not put in play in three swings, a tee is used or a coach can side toss to the batter. I don't even think the Tigers could hit off of a tee. You're batting 161 in a two-game series. It's embarrassing. Ty Cobb rolling over in his grave. Sweet Lou Whitaker. He's not dead yet, is he? Rolling over in his grave. Al Kaline, not dead, but rolling over in his grave if he were dead. This is embarrassing. Six players rotate positions each inning with just one outfielder behind the infield. The Twins wouldn't even need to field an outfielder. I don't even think they need nine. You've heard of Fast Eddie Fainter before, haven't you?
No.
Fast Eddie Fainter was he's no longer with us. I think he's rolling over in his grave. Softball pitcher. Fast pitch. They used to tour the country back in the 50s and 60s. It would be Fast Eddie Fainter in his court. He was a pitcher, fast pitch softball. He was so good, they would tour the country. It would be like Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus coming to your town. And it was a four-man team and they never lost. It was like Harlem Globetrotters against Washington Generals. He pitched, he had a catcher and two fielders. He was so good they couldn't hit them. Now, they didn't face major league players, but they'd face top-tier softball teams in that town, and they couldn't hit them. That's how good he was. That's how bad the Tigers are at the plate. You don't even need people out in the field for them. Coaches catch pitches. You don't even need to employ a catcher. Just throw a guy. That's how bad. It says, hit and run encourages coaches to add scoring bonuses for properly executed defensive plays. That wouldn't help the Tigers, and they're not going to get any runs that way. And reward teams with an extra batter when players hustle out into the field. That'd be the only way the Tigers could extend an inning is by hustling on and off the field. So there you go. That's what they're going to do.
Those are some major changes.
That's a Major League in USA Baseball.
What age level is that?
It just says encourage youth organizations to utilize alternative formats for games, practices, and tournaments. It does not say the age. Wouldn't this fit the Tigers perfectly? And so my whole point is, as long as the Twins are allowed the Midwest part of the country just breaks off and floats out into the Atlantic Ocean, as long as we're in the same geographic location as Kansas and Chicago and Detroit and get to play the unbalanced schedule against them, we're always going to be a contender for, now this year not the wild card because so many other teams are doing so well, but we're always going to be in the hunt for a wild card or a division title because the other teams are so bad. And please, that's not meant to criticize the Twins. Other than to say I think they're just a mediocre ball club, because we've seen that when they're playing teams that are outside the division, they're not doing very well. That's why they're a sub-500 ball club. Soon as they play, they look like the Yankees right now. And that's good for them.
It's like those online dating accounts at farmersonly.com where it makes them look like they're super attractive, and then you see them in person, and you're like, nah, they're still okay, but they're not that attractive.
That's exactly what it is. And so,
and our six division championships, I think, during the 2000s would be a great example of Twins were a decent team.
Right.
They were solid.
They're a cute little club.
But they looked better than they were based on their division and the unbalanced schedule. And then whenever they had to face the real teams in the league, they couldn't compete.
And that's why it's we talked earlier in the week, I think it was Monday, we had a tease that was the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I mean, the bigger the hopes, the more precarious the fall, and the more and it hurts more. The thud is that much louder. And that's why it's hard to get really excited about, well, that's a couple of well-played games with this one. They're playing an awful team, just terrible opposition. So, you know, but take advantage of it. And, you know, the one thing is it's the old, we love it here. We love the chip, the chair, and a chance. It's what we live by in Minnesota. So you hope you do find a way to win the division from Cleveland, get in there, and maybe steal one. Just need two stellar pitching performances and you can steal a series. But it's rather sad, really. Now, see, I thought because I did such a good job in that segment. Did you like that segment, Tenby?
I liked that.
Did you like that? I did, too. There's a top-tier quarterback, let's even call him a top-two quarterback, that's scratching his head. I'll explain when we return. Common Man Program in the Fan.
Don't miss the Bare Naked Ladies, along with Better Than Ezra and KT Tunstall.
Who? Bare Naked what now?
Live at Mystic Lake Yoga in the pants. Mystic Amphitheater at 7 p.m. on June 1st. Stay tuned to The Fan this week to hear how you can win tickets. Tickets are on sale now. Find out more at KFAN.com. Keyword events.
Well, I'm looking at farmersonly.com, and if she's a farmer, that's a row I'd like to hoe. Yoga pants, breasts. You ever do any gardening, Tenneby?
I hate gardening.
You ever hoed a row? The garden hoe.
No.
H-O-E. I now enjoy yard work. I mean, it's not my favorite pastime. It's not like I live to go work in the yard, but I don't know what it is. It's because it's my earth. Well, it's really not. I'm paying taxes on it. I sort of kind of own it. I guess I own the house on it. Actually, the bank owns the house, and I'm paying for it. But it's your plot of land. I've got four little landscaped areas, one in each corner, and they're kind of cute. Got actually one in the front yard, too, in one of the corners. So I have five little landscaped areas, and I like working them. Go in there and, you know, pull weeds and spread the mulch around. And that's actually, well, when you have a high-pressure job like mine, you know, when you've got the weight of a 100,000-watt radio station on your shoulders 5 days a week.
You need to unwind.
You need to unwind hopes and the dreams, and so you need something else to do. She's arrogant, narcissistic, and extremely intelligent. She needs someone 6 feet tall with an athletic build. I've got an athletic build if I stand on my hands, right? Because then I look like I got a much better upper body, right? Well, think about it. Big gut. If I stand on my hands, my gut becomes my chest. You go, man.
Looks like your shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big, strong, strappy. That doesn't help the...
I always love that one.
That doesn't help the 6 feet, though. How about you? You're 6 feet, aren't you? You're 6'2", right?
6'2".
You're right in her wheelhouse. More on that later. Aaron Rodgers. Why did we get rid of Jordy Nelson? I mean, why would you sign Dez Bryant? No, how did he say it? You've got the sound.
Yeah, right? Let me get the audio for it.
This is, I don't know why it came up again. I thought this was, it's the NFL, so anything old is something new. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the wide receiver.
Probably the first time he was asked about
really?
It. Oh, yeah, I'm sure they got OTAs or whatever.
OTAs.
So this is his first time in front of the media.
Yeah.
So someone's going to bring it up.
He had commented on it before, though, hadn't he? At least he certainly had the Jordy thing.
He had commented on Jordy before, yes.
Yeah, but okay. So anyways, the rumors are that Jason Witten, former Cowboy tight end, who is now going to the broadcast booth, has made this bold, brash prediction that I think Dez Bryant's going to sign with the Green Bay Packers. Here's Aaron Rodgers.
Well, we'd like young receivers, so I'm assuming that's the way they're going to keep going. I don't know why you'd cut Jordy and bring in Dez. But he's down a player. He's going to end up somewhere. And if he ends up here, I'll obviously welcome him with open arms and get him up to speed as quick as possible.
And when he says younger players, going with younger players, I think it's younger players but lower salary players, right? Because wasn't that part of the reason or all of the reason for parting ways with Jordy Nelson? Because he was making a big paycheck. And you and I have a theory. I think we're both on the same page here. And this is not to take anything away from the talents of any particular wide receiver. But I think a quarterback has a better chance to make a wide receiver look better than he really is, or make him look like a star wide receiver, than a wide receiver can make an okay quarterback look like a star quarterback. A couple of wide receivers that, I mean, Randy Moss is the one guy I think that could make any, he'd make any quarterback look better than he is, yep. Right? I mean, fast, big, tall, just super.
He made Randall Cunningham, who was, what, Land Tile or something?
He was Land Tile in Las Vegas. Tile and Floors.
Was he about 40 years old? I mean, he was upper 30s.
I don't know if he was 40.
Had been out of the league for some time.
And he made him look like
MVP candidate.
MVP candidate. So there are those players. He was Super Freak. That's what they should have called him, Super Freak. What a great nickname.
Well, the Vikings receivers, too, with Chris Carter and Jake Reed, they went three deep.
They went three
on
deep.
On that depth chart.
They went three deep. Didn't we call them the Three Amigos? I think that was
our nickname.
Called
them Three Deep, didn't we?
Yeah. I was trying to reel people. That's what they called the Denver Broncos.
I always love that one.
Receivers at one time. They called they had three guys in Denver that they called the Three Amigos. And we have proof of it. Again, we've seen a number of Green Bay wide receivers have post Pro Bowl numbers, catching passes on the receiving end of passes from Aaron Rodgers. And then they go elsewhere, and they don't necessarily fall off the face of the earth, but the numbers decrease dramatically. Greg Jennings, right?
Mm-hmm.
He left Green Bay and came here. He didn't have a big year here, did he?
No. He was okay.
Yeah.
But
how many other examples?
James Jones did the same thing in Green Bay.
James Jones. Didn't he go to Chicago? Where did he go?
He went to a couple places. He ended up in Oakland at some point. Maybe the Giants.
Star with Green Bay. So, and Jordy Nelson, we talked about that, and we had Packer fans that would attack us to the point where I cried at night with the vicious verbal onslaught that people would waylay upon the common man about his, not really criticisms Jordy Nelson, but saying, you know, every Green Bay fan said Jordy Nelson's the best wide receiver in pro football, or at least one of the top two or three. And I'm like, when you're catching passes from Aaron Rodgers, you're going to look like one of the best receivers in pro football. No, he's that good. And then what? When Aaron was hurt last year, what kind of numbers did Jordy post?
Not very good.
No. So did Jordy make Randy Hundley better? No. It didn't work that way because Jordy's a quality. How about Eric Decker? Wasn't he on the receiving end of Peyton Manning for a few? Wasn't he really good early in Denver and then went to the Jets and was just mediocre? Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think he was. I don't think that big of a drop off from Denver.
Oh, wasn't? Oh, okay. Okay, maybe there wasn't that big of a drop off.
I mean, he went from being good to he was still okay.
He was okay
with the Jets.
Maybe that's a bad example then. But you get my point.
Yeah.
So I think what Aaron's saying there, and I don't know if you interpret it the same way I am. He's not ripping Dez and say, well, if we got rid of Jordy,
no.
Why we get just... He's just basically saying, well, if we got rid of one guy because, you know, we had a really good wide receiver before that I liked, and yeah, Dez is good, why wouldn't we just keep Jordy? But I think he's got
to
know...
To me, that was a shot at the decision maker.
Yeah, but then he's got to realize that it's money, isn't it? Because that was the reason they got... Is that the reason that Jordy's no longer there was strictly
yes,
money, wasn't
but
it?
But I thought I remembered, and maybe I'm completely wrong, I thought there was something with Jordy that they didn't even give him a chance to take a lower salary.
Oh.
Which might have led to more bitterness. He didn't. I don't even think he got the option of, okay. Hey, can you take a pay cut to stay here? It was just, you're gone.
Hmm. Well, then that would add another layer to it, but... Yeah. I mean,
I would be interested to see Dez in Green Bay just because Rodgers obviously is really good,
mm-hmm.
but he's always kind of had like an arrogant feel to him. Like, I'm the best. If a play is screwed up, it wasn't my fault.
Right.
He's never really had a wide receiver with a personality.
Yeah.
Right. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams. Greg Jennings, James Jones. I mean, none of these guys he's thrown the ball to has ever been someone that's had a personality and would push back on him. Whereas I think Dez would. And I would love to see
yeah.
that interaction. if there was a disagreement.
Yeah, because Brian's a strong personality, and I don't think he would. I'm sure he'd be delighted to be on the receiving end of Rodgers' passes.
Sure.
I don't think he would. I don't think he would be afraid to speak his mind. Because the quarterbacks, you mentioned the Green Bay receivers. Who are they? Cobb.
Right now it's Cobb, Davante Adams,
and Geronimo Allison. Right. Is that his name?
I don't even know their depth chart anymore.
Yeah, I think it's Geronimo Allison. And I think in watching, I'm not paying as close attention to Green Bay Packer football as I once did, but all three of those guys have had their moments, especially Cobb. And again, I do believe it's because of who's throwing the ball to them. And that, please, they wouldn't have made it to the NFL if they didn't have skills to play in the NFL, but I think they look better because of who's throwing them the football. So, but I doesn't Aaron have to fit? Because you would probably get Dez for less money, because that was the same reason he was. Isn't that why Dallas parted ways with him? Wasn't it a money thing?
Yeah,
it was.
He couldn't perform to the amount of salary.
The
he was
kind of money with the way the salary cap is. I mean, especially, and Aaron, guess what? My guess is, if you haven't spoken directly to Green Bay ownership, to Carl Gerbschmidt and all the others, the message is conveyed, I'm sure, that, oh boy, get ready to back up the Brinks truck to where I don't know where Aaron Rodgers banks, but get ready to back up the Brinks truck, because if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get that kind of money, and Kirk Cousins is going to get that kind of money, and who's the latest? Who was the third guy that just got paid?
Matt Ryan, right?
Matt Ryan. If you're going to pay those guys that kind of money, I want mine. Well, where are they going to get that money? From Jordy Nelson. That's part of it's going to come from Jordy, because Jordy was going to make what? Do we even know? Do we know? Do we have any indication?
I think it was like 10, 11-ish.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, guess what? Let's say it's 10. Well, 8 of that's got to go to you, Aaron, if you're going to demand the kind of money we think you're going to demand. So we have to replace Jordy Nelson with somebody that will make $2 million a year.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
That we have confidence you'll turn them into a good wide receiver, because
exactly
they're a good quarterback.
Right. So yeah. Stop it already. Or tell them, like we've seen players do that, including NBA. Durantula. Doesn't he take less? And again, I'm not what a sacrifice. I mean, he signed a $200 million shoe contract recently, or $300 million.
Tom Brady takes less.
Yeah. Players take less. And I guess you could say Aaron has taken less over the years, but I think only taken less just because of, not because he's saying
inflation.
The inflation thing. That's what it is. So, I'm completely confident he'll make. I think they drafted three receivers, Tennessee. I think somebody from Missouri. I think his name is Jamon Moore. I think in the fourth round, kid from South Florida. I think in the fifth round, Marquez Valdez Scantling. And then I think they drafted a guy out of Notre Dame in the fifth round, named Equanimeous St. Brown. My guess is one of those guys, if not two, will be a Rookie of the Year candidate, because he'll go down the field, he'll make a nice move, and he'll turn around, and the ball will be right there. He won't be able to miss it. It'll be on a frozen rope, right in it. Unless he has Troy Williamson-type cast-iron skillet hands, it's going to be right there. And he's going to catch it. He's going to turn it. He's going to go for a couple yards. And everybody's going to say, what a steal in the fifth round. Equanimeous St. Brown out of Notre Dame. He has all the talent in the world. Well, yeah. But if you put him on the receiving end of who's the New York Jets quarterback? Not Bridgewater. Don't they have another one?
McCown?
If he's on the receiving end of McCown, they're going, boy, this kid might not make it. In a taxi squad, maybe they could turn him into a defensive back. That's what they'd be saying about him. So that's how it works. And Aaron should know that, too. When we come back, it'll be time for 5-3-4.
Is a Viking star on the verge of holding out?
Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Hornsby in the Range. Bruce Lee. It's time now for 534 here on the Common Man program.
Time now for five questions. Well, actually three, but five sounds like more than four. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Question number one.
Vikings, let's win
this game. It's now time to take an in-depth look at the state of the school.
According to Chad Graff of The Athletic, linebacker Anthony Barr told Mike Zimmer he won't be here for OTAs. When asked if it had to do with Barr's contract, Zimmer said, quote, "I don't know. I don't worry about that stuff." Common is an Anthony Barr holdout on the horizon.
Can you repeat that whole thing? So I was looking at my farmersonly.com website.
Anthony Barr told Mike Zimmer that he won't be here for OTAs.
And is it are these all voluntary?
Organized team activities? I believe so.
Okay.
That being said,
you're right. It makes a difference, but
Zimmer especially, I think, frowns upon.
Yeah, sure he does.
I can't do anything about it, but
right. It's all for one and one for all. If you're a team player, you're there.
Asked if it had to do about Barr's anything to do with Barr's contract, Zimmer said, quote, "I don't know. I don't worry about that stuff."
Yeah. Well, it isn't his. I mean, because he's not the general manager or capologist guy, he probably doesn't worry about it to the extent of why. Like you say, he's probably not pleased that he's not there. There's another Zim-related story I ran into. Maybe, you know, I'm not paying as close attention to the National Football League in general, and specifically the Minnesota Vikings and what might be considered, I don't want to call it a feud, but the head coach and the former starting quarterback, I don't really think saw eye to eye on things. I don't know if you saw that story. Maybe I'll get to that during the 1:30 segment. Or your bets are so bad, we might be able to get through that in about 30 seconds. Or maybe they were really good, I don't know. Well, Barr, they paid Kendricks, right? Is that correct?
They did.
And Kendricks was drafted after Barr, right?
Yes.
But does that make a difference because of where Barr was drafted? Does the team have one extra
year? Kendricks wasn't a first-round draft pick, so you get that option year.
So what was your question? I'm sorry. I mean, I know what it was, but
Is it Anthony Barr holdout on the horizon?
Well, yeah. It might be, I guess, but the Vikings, unless there's communication between the two sides that we don't know about, it looks as recently the Vikings have been pretty good about paying the players they feel that want to be paid, right? They gave quarterback guy, is it $84 million guaranteed or whatever it was. Didn't Kendricks got money? Did Linval Joseph, didn't he recently get paid? Didn't Ev get paid? Did Rhodes get paid?
Yep.
Has Hitman got paid?
Yep.
So they've paid their players, at least to the satisfaction where they didn't mind putting their John Hancock on it. All we hear is, and he probably is really good. I don't know for sure because I'm not really sure exactly what a capologist does, but it seems though Brzezinski's really good at his job and he's able to secure the players they want long term for pretty good money. So unless there's been conversations where they've told Barr, or maybe Barr feels, well, wait a minute now. This is unfair, but if they've got that extra year, and I don't know. I don't know what those conversations are like. I don't know if the Vikings have went to him and said, relax, R-E-L-A-X. We're going to get you your money, but there's a game we have to play here. It's a shell game. We got to jump through some hoops here. But so your guess is as good as mine. I guess there could be, but the way they've been able to but maybe because they've been able to pay all those other guys, maybe Barr's a guy that's going to be on the outside. Look, we do know that Barr had a reputation. He was brilliant his rookie year, right? And was it the second year he wasn't as good and there was some criticism?
Mm-hmm.
And then was it third year he was good again? How many years has he been in the league now? Has he played four complete years now?
I'm guessing his fifth year option is coming up this year, right? That's why I need to sign him now.
wasn't that one of the concerns about him, like, taking plays off or, you know?
I think 1 year he was concerned about him not coming to camp in shape.
Yeah, something like that. So, you know, I don't know. I guess there could be. It'd be interesting. I would think they plan to take care of him. You know, he can fix all of it by having a brilliant season this year, right? Then they'll pay him or somebody else will.
Question number two.
NFL owners have unanimously approved a new national anthem policy that requires players to stand if they are on the field during the performance, but gives them the option to remain in the locker room if they prefer. The new policy subjects teams to a fine if a player or any other team personnel do not show appropriate respect for the anthem. That includes any attempt to sit or kneel, as dozens of players have done during the past two seasons. Those teams will also have the option to fine any team personnel, including players, for the infraction. Roger Goodell, commissioner, said in a statement, quote, "This season, all league and team personnel shall stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. Personnel who choose not to stand for the anthem may stay in the locker room until after the anthem has been performed. We believe today's decision will keep our focus on the game and the extraordinary athletes who play it and our fans who enjoy it." Common, your thoughts on the new policy from NFL owners?
I don't know. I'll probably get myself in trouble and be called a communist. If I'm at a football game or watching on TV, and Joe Bag of Donuts wants to make his statement, I go, okay. It doesn't bother me. I know why it does bother people. I also know that the people that are kneeling are doing it because they're trying to call attention to what they think is a social injustice. I'm bored with the whole topic. For me, there are plenty of things about this country that I do not like. I think we all feel that way, right? I think there's more to like about it than to dislike about it. But there are things I don't like. But for me, I don't choose to protest in a way where, I'm not playing on a team, you know, where they play the national anthem, but I'm at events where they do, at games. I guess I could make my statement by just sitting, right? Not that anybody would care, but you get my point. Mm-hmm. I could make my protest like that be known by saying, I'm not standing. I don't choose to protest in that manner. And I don't know about... So what they're saying is you can stay in the locker room if you don't want.
Yeah.
But if you do kneel, you'll be... Fines and suspensions? Is that what it said? Can you look back on what you read there? And was it?
It'll subject teams to a fine if a player or any other team personnel do not show appropriate respect to the anthem. But then those teams will also have the option to fine any team personnel, including players, for the infraction.
Right. Did I see a story? I saved it on my handheld computer, which doubles as a communication device. Was there a story yesterday about a 15-yard penalty for kneeling?
Yeah, I'd seen that as early as this morning.
Okay.
Yeah,
because
they were discussing it.
Oh, so that's now off the...
This is the policy now that
owners have
approved.
Okay, that's off the table. I don't know. And your question to me was, what do I think about
it? I said your thoughts,
I guess I've shared them. I don't even think people were noticing people kneeling anymore, were they? And I understand if you're upset, especially if you were in the armed services and, you know, the old, you know, respect the flag for the people that put their lives in line. I get all that, but I don't know. I think it was
loose. Well, the messaging as to why they were doing it was starting to get a little foggy with some people, too. I know why they were doing
it,
but people were taking it the wrong way.
Yeah, and then I just think it was losing its momentum. Anyways, I think it was almost becoming a moot topic until the Donald brought it up again. I think most players were not kneeling anymore. I think most of them had gone, well, this isn't going anywhere, so let's try other avenues. Matter of fact,
they were kneeling, they just weren't getting the same attention.
Exactly. And then they did again, so.
Well, Colin Kaepernick got a job now. Because he can't kneel. I mean, he could stay in the locker room.
It's a crazy mixed up.
But he won't be able to go out and kneel now, so will someone sign him?
It's a crazy mixed up world. I think somebody might do that.
Question Question number three.
Houston beat Golden State 95-92 to even their Western Conference Finals series at 2-2 last night. James Harden scored 30. Chris Paul added 27. Common, did you watch last night's game? And if so, how was Houston able to contain Golden State's offense?
I was stunned. I don't think they necessarily contained it other than I think that Golden State went ice cold. They went from being a very... they had a run where they were down, I think, by 10 or 15, and then they ended up getting up by 10 or 15. They went on a tear. I'll give some credit to Houston's defense. I think they did stick a hand in the face. I mean, on that last possession, before they... Here's what I don't get, and I'm just not paying as close attention to the league. You're telling me that... Did you see the end of the game?
No.
Klay Thompson throws up an awful shot.
I was monitoring Twitter, and okay, they made it seem like it was the ugliest
it was an awful,
couple minutes ever in NBA history.
It was an awful shot by Klay Thompson, okay? And it's like well short. I don't know if it was tipped or something. Somebody gets it, and a game over, right? Somebody for Golden State, I think. No, Houston catches the ball, I think, after it's tapped. I don't know if it was a Gordon or who it was. Maybe it was Chris Paul. All of a sudden, and there's Marv Albert. And there it is, final. That's 94-92. And all of a sudden, whoa, we're going to go over to the monitor and see if there was a foul. I guess they've been doing this forever. The last 2 minutes. I know they can review plays in the last 2 minutes. You shouldn't be able to review it. You either call a foul if you do or you don't, I think. Or maybe I'm a fraud because I like instant replay and like in most cases.
I don't like it in basketball. It slows down the last couple minutes.
I don't even care so much for the slowing down. It's like, because there's almost a foul on every play. So
sure,
only in the last 2 minutes you're going to win. They're fouling every play, but yeah, only in the last 2 minutes we're scrutinizing. And that gave Golden State a golden opportunity, pardon the pun. Because what's-his-face, I think, made the first one to get it to three. He missed the second. And if I understand what I read in Fish Wrap, West Side, East Side, earlier, maybe on a story on my handheld computer, which doubles as a communication device, he was trying to miss the second free throw, and he made it because he just wanted to miss it, game over, right? Instead, he made it. Golden State called timeout. They had one left, and Kurt was criticized for not... There were people that are criticizing Kurt for... Well, after Houston was up 94-92 and you had the ball with 10 seconds to go and brought it down the court, and then it ended up in the awful... Splash Brothers shot, why didn't you call a timeout and set up another play? And I'm sorry, I know this case it didn't work out. I love when the coach lets him play. He's got the greatest offensive basketball team of all time. What bothers me more than anything is when a coach, I'm going to call a timeout and I'm going to show everybody how great of a tactician I am. I'm going to set up the last shot of the game. These guys have been playing basketball since they were knee-high to a grasshopper.
Let them use their instincts.
Yeah. Now, it didn't work out that time. I get it. Because Klay Thompson might not be the best player for creating his own shot. There's other guys I'd rather see create their own shot. But I had no problem with Kerr letting him play. Especially you don't give Houston a chance to get set on defense. Take the ball down the floor. But Curry got an open look from the corner. I read two accounts. One said he didn't get the shot off in time. The other said he just missed. I thought he got the shot off. He had a clean look. So my point is, if he makes that basket, I guess the argument would be, and I'm the guy that would make that argument, I guess I'm a fraud. Because if Steph makes that and it's tied, I would say, well, yeah, it should be. He should have got a chance because there was a foul committed. I don't know. What was your question about?
Why was Houston able to contain Golden State's offense?
They played. They denied him the ball. They played in-your-face defense, and Golden State, I think, got a little cockeyed shooting the ball.
By the way,
I'm stunned that they won. I never, even when they were up three with 45 seconds to go or whatever, I still thought Golden State was going to win. That's a huge win. I didn't think. I've sort of disrespected Houston. I admit it. I mean, I'm the first to tell you. I said it would be 4-0. And then I said, well, they might grab one, but they're never going to win more than one game. I predicted a 20-point victory last night for Golden State, so maybe Houston's a lot... I know they're good, but maybe they're even better than I thought they are.
By the way, the Aaron Rodgers soundbite we played last segment, that was your great clip of the day brought to you by Great Clips.
Yeah.
And that's it for today's edition of Five Questions. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Well, actually, three questions, but five sounds like more than four.
Oh, I see. Quickly, I see what they say. They didn't review whether it was a foul or not. They reviewed whether the foul that was called occurred before time expired. Okay. Because I thought that's crazy that you can't go back and review a play and say, well, let's just see if he's fouled. I don't think I would have missed a rule change like that. So if the emailer is correct, it was just to see if they put time back on the clock, which is exactly what they did. Tenna B, he's basically the who's a great gambler.
Yeah, I only know poker players.
Well, give me one of their
Doyle Brunson, Phil Ivey.
The Doyle Brunson of the Fan. Let's see how his bets went last night.
Programming on the Fan today is brought to you by Joffy LASIK.
It's Yamana Heating and Air Conditioning weather forecast from the Radio Romeo himself. The guy who idolizes and pedestalizes Rob Sherwood, Trudon Blue, Tack Hammer, and Shotgun Ed King. I'm the Radio Romeo. With the Amana Heating and Air Conditioning weather forecast, we're expecting partly cloudy skies to mostly cloudy. Chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Tomorrow, Mercury should play tag with 90. Right now, it's 78. 1978 Saucedo Summer Nights on your home for the hits. The Sports Animal. Many years ago, when the football pregame shows weren't quite as extensive, the network still would have a panel of two or three people. And back in the day, CBS had Brent Musburger and they had a guy called Jimmy the Greek Snyder. Do you recognize the name?
Definitely know the name, yes.
And I think Jimmy the Greek was a former bookmaker. He was an odds maker kind of a guy. So maybe we should just call you Tenna the Greek B,
huh?
Or Tenna B the Greek Molesky. Maybe you could just be the Greek. So how did our own resident Greek do yesterday? This, of course, remind folks once again briefly, sportsbook betting can now, it's allowed in every state in the union now. All 48 contiguous states, as well as Hawaii and Alaska, not sure about Puerto Rico. Tenna B can't wait for it. He can't wait for the day he can legally go to a sportsbook and just start making big fat stacks of sports book provided cash. So going into today, we've been doing this for a week and a couple of days. Where do you stand?
Well, I was down $18.10 going into yesterday's bets. I made two wagers.
Okay.
I bet the LA Angels at -1.5 at Toronto. They lost, so I lost $20 there. So now I'm down $38.10. Mm. And then I really thought I was going to outfox the sport books.
Yeah.
Because they had two pitchers that both had ERAs of 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Yet the over-under in the Miami-New York Mets game was 7.
So and I said, couldn't understand that. It made no sense to you.
I said, I'm crushing over 7. 2 innings in, I think I'm brilliant because it was 3-1 after 2 innings. 4 runs had already been scored. Ended up being a 5-1 final. Mm. Under hits. I lose $20. I'm now down $58.10. So here we are.
Still think that legalized sports bet is a good idea, Tennessee? Wow. I really thought you were going to knock it out of the park. I thought this was going to be your big break. I thought it was going to get to the point where you would be so successful at this that somebody with money would contact you and say, I want you to be that guy you hear on radio stations all over America. Hi, I'm Tenna B the Greek Molesky. I got your lead pipe singed for tonight, and I'm giving it to you free on the Atlanta Falcons New Orleans Monday night game. I'm right 95% of the time. The first one's free to you. Just call 1-800-TENNA-B.
Giving out winners 11 of the last 13 weeks.
That's what I thought you were going to be doing.
Well, there's still time.
I guess there is. So you're down.
Sports betting is a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Certainly.
You can't take small sample sizes.
Right. Well, it's only a marathon.
Even Jimmy the Greek's going
to
lose.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you this. It's only a marathon if you got big, fat stacks of cash to bet. You start running low on funds. They don't take IOUs. at sports books.
I'm getting very close to asking my wife for money out of her account.
I don't know if that's going to go over well. You wouldn't steal money from Leo's piggy bank, would you?
No, not at all.
You're sure?
No.
Guys get desperate. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Well, it's getting to the point where he has more in his piggy bank than I have in my bank account.
Yeah. Baby brother Peter's got a stockpile of cash, too. Well, here's what he'll do. We'll be at a basketball game. Hey, I want to go get a Gatorade and some M&Ms. Like, well, it's probably not what you should have between games, but you know what? I'm the soft. My wife would not allow that. She would make him have something healthy. I'm the soft spot. Okay, go ahead. I give him $20. Funny, I never get change. No! In his basketball bag, there's like $486 in there. It's like,
I always love that one.
What are you doing? He goes, it's my money now. That's what he says. It's my money now. You gave it to me.
You're getting played like I got played by the sports
betting
last night.
You are correct. What are your bets for tonight, Tennessee?
We're going back to my bread and butter, even though I missed it in Game 6. Hockey. Washington Capitals, Tampa Bay Lightning at Tampa Bay tonight.
You're taking Tampa Bay.
Game 7. I'm going with the underdog here. I am going with the Washington Capitals.
No!
Plus 125. Tonight is going to be Alexander...
Oh my gosh. Above average at that.
Alexander Ovechkin, game-winning goal in overtime, exercises the demons of his entire career. Game-winning goal, Washington at plus 125. So I will wager 20 to win $25.
This is an interesting study in human behavior. See, here's what I originally thought. Because you were Parisi, better all-round workman-like guy than Ovi. Ovi never gets that big win, and he's never advanced. You've taken a lot of heat from people.
Sure.
And so I thought you were going to stick to your guns. And I'm going to say they're going to lose
again. He's been different this year.
Right.
He's been a different player.
But this is what I thought you would do. This is how I'm studying it. I'm thinking you're going to do that. Now I'm thinking, because I've done this before, where you're all on board, right? I think he's going to exercise the demons and score in overtime. Then if he doesn't and they lose, you go, you can go, see, I knew for all these years, I took heat for talking about Ovechkin not being able to come up big when they really need him. And in the biggest moments, when the spotlight is brightest, he's always failed. And now finally I say, okay, I'm going to back you. I'm finally believing you. And look what you do. You laid another egg.
Yeah.
But you're actually telling me.
This is the best he's ever looked in the playoffs.
Yeah. So you're not just playing the games that I do.
I think Washington's going to win.
That's amazing.
And I can get underdog money on them. So.
See, the reason I pick certain outcomes or performances is just so I look good. That's all I care about is how I look. You're doing it because you actually have a belief.
Well, I need to win money.
And you need to win money.
I'm down $58.10.
Yeah. Okay, so you're betting on Ovi.
Yep. I'm also betting, now technically this bet will not be paid off until tomorrow, but I need to make the bet now because the event will start before we're on the air tomorrow.
Okay.
So we won't know the result of this until, actually I'm not here tomorrow anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to the golf world.
Oh, really?
There is the Fort Worth Invitational begins tomorrow.
Can I interject this quick? If you bet golf as well as you play golf, you may as well just give us the money now. That's what I would do. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Tomorrow is the Fort Worth Invitational.
Yep.
At the Colonial Golf Course.
Yep.
I know someone from the Dallas area who's a pretty darn good golfer. His name is Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not betting him to win the whole tournament just because he's 7-1. I don't like that price given all the opponents he has to beat.
Right.
That's still a difficult price for me. But for tomorrow's round in particular, you can bet on the threesome he's in. So I am picking him.
Who is he playing with?
He's playing with Kevin Kisner and Steve Stricker.
Stricker?
So Stricker's done. He's done, though.
Well, you mean, will he beat the three he's with?
He's got to beat those two just for tomorrow's round.
Right, okay.
In round one. So I can get Spieth at plus 125, meaning...
You think Stricker's done-zo?
Excuse me, minus 125.
You think Stricker's done-zo?
Stricker's done-zo, yeah. He has been for quite some time. So his only competition is Kevin Kisner's, but he's playing, I'm guessing he's played Colonial Golf Course hundreds.
Hundreds?
Hundreds of times.
Yeah.
I'm sure he knows every nook and cranny of the golf course, and he's really good.
You know what? I bet he doesn't know every nook and cranny because he hits it right up the middle and knocks it on the green. If he hits it offline, he goes, I've never seen this part of the golf course before, but I get your drift.
He knows what club he's supposed to use. He knows what part of the green he's supposed to hit.
Okay.
And he's just a better golfer than Kevin Kisner and Steve Stricker. So I'm betting $20 to win 16 that he will defeat both Kevin Kisner and Steve Stricker, his playing partners, tomorrow in the Fourth Worth Invitational.
20. Watch go. Come on, Tim. This is your chance. This is your big chance. This is your big chance. I'm that little devil sitting on your shoulder. Come on, Tim. Well, bet it all. Go $100. Well, come on.
The devil's about to jump in because desperation is starting to set in.
So it is.
I have two more bets.
No!
On bets I know nothing about.
So now, while you haven't broken into Leo's piggy bank, you're taking his milk money from preschool.
Now, I'm only going to be making $5 bets here.
Okay.
So I'm going cheaper, but I'm going to bet on Japanese professional baseball. Because there are two teams playing today that have better records, but they're playing on the road, so they're both underdogs. To me, I'm getting odds on both of them. If one of the two teams wins, which they should, they have better records, I'm making money.
Okay.
So I'm going with the Saitama Seibu Lions.
I love the Saitama Seibu Lions. Good club.
They are plus 120 over the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks.
Mm.
So I will bet $5 to win $6. And then I'm also going to take the Oryx Buffaloes at plus 110 over the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles. I will bet $5 to win $5.50. So if one of those two wins, I'm winning money.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. What'll Tenneby think, thank, funk of next? I like it. It's very good. We'll see how it works out for Tenneby. Hey, we're going to play a fun little game. Will Karl Anthony Towns play next year? We'll take a look at all the different options when we return to the Common Man program here on The Fan.
Dan Cole, the Common Man. Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
Register for our Trampled by Turtles Red Rocks giveaway on Twitter. You have until 9 a.m. this Friday. Tell us why you love Trampled by Turtles and tweet using hashtag Rube to Red Rocks to register for a chance to win a trip to see them play at the famous venue in Denver, Colorado on July 19th. Check out at KFAN1003 on Twitter to learn more.
She was making for the trades on the outside.
Trampled by Turtles. Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Reynolds. Talking Heads. No. Stephen wrote this song. Great song. So, I'm not paying off the teeth. At least not now. We'll do that with Mark Rosen. I remembered something else that I find much more, I don't know about fascinating is probably too strong of a word. I don't know if you saw this story, Tenneby, out of New York State. A New York judge yesterday ordered a 30-year-old man to vacate his parents' home after they took him to court when he refused to leave.
I didn't hear about that.
You did?
Yeah.
New York State Supreme Court's judge Donald Greenwood told Michael Rotondo, pointing at him with an index finger, I want you out of that household. Now, I'm doing it with my left hand. He may have done it with his right hand. I don't know if the judge is left-handed or the right hand. I'm left-handed, but I like pointing with my left hand. Feel stronger. The son, Rotondo, was, according to the reporter, the way the reporter described it, he was displeased. That's outrageous. He said it's outrageous that the judge is ordering him to leave his parents' house. The judge explained that Rotondo was given numerous notices, but Rotondo tried to argue, as his own attorney, that he needed more time. He told the judge, I don't see why we can't just wait a little bit for me to leave the house. I wonder how much time he wants. What to him is a little bit? He's 30 years old. After the judge ruled in Rotondo's parents' favor, he approached the judge's bench to ask for one last consideration, if it pleases the court. The judge said, sir, I have already ruled. Rotondo then told a television station out of Syracuse that after the ruling, he plans to get some things from the home in New York. I guess it's a town called Camillus, adding that he wasn't sure where he would stay now. Here's how it goes. The son moved back into the home 8 years ago after losing a job, adding that he and his parents aren't on speaking terms. He said he now runs a website business. He runs a website business. His parents declined to comment after the judge's ruling. Attempts to reach the parents and their attorney were unsuccessful. They took their son to court after several failed attempts to get him out, including a cash offer of $1,100 to move his belongings and get his Volkswagen Passat. I like that they tell us exactly what kind of a car it is. And not just a Volkswagen, but it's a Passat. It's not a Rabbit. It's not a Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a, is it Tiguan? T-I-G-U-A-N is that how you say it? It's a Passat. They said, get your belongings and your Volkswagen Passat off of our driveway. Rotondo outside the court. This is what he said. He took the money, but he didn't go search for a place. He says, okay, I'll take the $1,100, and then he just pockets
You've got to be
it's
kidding
like
me.
It's like Tana B raiding Leo's piggy bank to cover his gambling debts. You know what he said? I spent it on expenses. What kind of expenses? It sounds like his parents are paying for everything.
Yeah, what does he have to pay for?
I mean, is he allowed in the kitchen? This is one of the more bizarre stories I think I've ever heard. His parents look very mild-mannered. The parents, Ritrat wrote several letters to him going back to February, all asking him to leave their home. In court, the Rotondo character asked the judge for 6 months, and then if the judge disagreed with his interpretation of the case, he said he could leave sooner. I don't personally expect to be there 3 months from now. Michael Rotondo said that he's not a burden to them in the home, and the parents don't provide laundry or food. So he's doing his own laundry, Tenneby.
I always love that one.
And he's...
well, probably using their water to do it.
Could very well be.
And their electric.
Well, that's where the expenses come in. The $1,100 he's using to pay those bills. Judge didn't appear convinced. At one point, bringing Rotondo and the parents' attorney to his bench to consider mediation. The parents' attorney told the judge that neither of the parents have any obligation to provide support for the 30-year-old son and that they are considering becoming empty nesters and want the option to sell their large house and move to smaller quarters that suits their need. The letters included in the petition illustrate their rising frustration. Michael Rotondo attempted to answer the claims and stated in a motion to dismiss that he is a family member who cannot be evicted. I like the strategy, right? How can you evict a family member? I'm a family member. I share your last name. Dad, you created me from your loins. Mom, you bore witness. No, you bore... well, yeah, she might have... I don't know if she saw it, but she bore a child. Michael Rotondo claims he hasn't made life difficult for his parents. And that there were never any expectations on him to contribute to the household expenses. They never asked him to chip in. They never asked him to do chores or maintain the house. Of course, the parents' letters to him paint a different picture. Feb 2, his parents wrote him 4 sentences demanding, you must leave this house immediately, and gave him 2 weeks to vacate. You will not be allowed to return, the letter reads. We will take whatever actions are necessary to enforce this action. On Feb 13, 3 days shy of the 14 days promised, the parents wrote him another letter saying they had retained an attorney. They were going to go into legal proceedings. Here's $1,100 from us to you so you can find a place to stay. Came with advice that he start organizing belongings and hawk the rest. Sell some of your stuff. You've got to get out of this place. Sell other things that you have that are of significant value, e.g. stereo, some tools. This applied to weapons, too. This is especially true for any weapons you may have. You need the money and will have no place for the stuff. The letter also not only advises him to move out, but maybe get a job. There are jobs available even with those with a poor work history like you. Get one. You have to work. And more letters in the petition were sent in March. Each demands Michael leave and get his car fixed and off the parents' property. Well, that's the reason he can't. It won't start. How can you expect him to move a car that doesn't start, Tenneby? How is he going to get it off the property? I find this one of, again, I don't know about fascinating, it's perplexing to me. Now, I've already told Deuce and baby brother Peter this, and maybe I would change my tune once we celebrated their 30th birthday. I've told them they can stay as long as they want. You're my sons. I'm not going to, if things aren't going well for you, I'm not going to throw you out of the house. I know back in the olden days, that's kind of the way it was.
Yeah.
You know, once you turned 18, it was like, you're on your own. They pushed you out of the nest, right? Or in my case, I don't know how it was with you. I couldn't, and not because I didn't like my parents or like living at home, but when I turned 18, I couldn't wait to go live in a trailer with my buddies so we could.
No one tell me what to do.
To be and behave Asbury guys. Guess what? We can drink, smoke dope, play poker at night. That's going to be fun. Have chicks over, listen to stereo real loud, which was cool for a while, but after, then I can see why he wants to live at home.
Now, you're saying you would never tell your kids that they could stay there as long as they want.
Well, with an exception.
There might be a point where if they're being lazy, well, and they're not trying to get a job, and you need to send a message to them.
Of course. But I'm talking about if they fall on. Yeah, I'm not saying that Deuce just goes, I just want to play Fortnite, and I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to play Fortnite. And no, that's not going to work. But if, you know, I remember, and if you want to call me mama's boy, I don't care. When I returned from the state of Wyoming and I went on tour with my brother for a while when he was touring the country as a stand-up comic, when we came back when college recessed for the summer, I was back in Minneapolis with no job and no visible means of support, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had nothing. So I got a part-time job, and I decided, I asked my mom if I could move in with her for a while until I got my feet back on the ground. Because here's what I thought. I thought, do I want to give, this would have been back in 1990, okay? Would I want to give some landlord $800 a month for an apartment, overpriced, right? $800, that would be almost all of my money I'm making.
Sure.
Or would I rather pay $300 and give it to my mom who could use that $300 and just have a back bedroom in which I get up in the morning, I go to work, I come home, grab something to eat, then go out with my buddies and come back home. To me, it was more, I'm not giving landlord guy $800. The hell with that. My mom could use the $300. And we had a wonderful living arrangement for about 2 years. Then I got a full-time job, moved in with my lovely wife Potato, living in sin. And then we finally got married and such like that. But that's where it went from there. But to me, anybody that would go, oh, you're living with your mom? Yeah, I am living with my mom. What do you think of that? I think it was like a 2 year period, was 300 times 12 is what?
3,600.
So I was able to give my mom how much over 2 years? Roughly 2 years.
$7,200.
What? That $7,200 came in handy.
You saved money yourself.
And I saved money myself. So anybody that thinks, oh, no, I can't live with my mom, well, don't then. Give rich landlord guy your $800, that's what you want to do. But this is odd. It doesn't seem like, he doesn't have a job.
The best part, too, is they had to send him emails, which means they were asking him well before the emails to get out of the house. But at some point, they go, you know, we need to document this because we're going to have to go through a court to get him out of here. So now we have to send him emails, formal letters to get him out of the house.
I wonder where he goes from here. He needs 6 months, is what he says. But I find that it's an interesting story. Reminds me of meat sauce a little bit. How long will he live in a? Hennepin County's been asking him to move out from under the Penn Avenue Bridge for ages, and he just hasn't been able to do it. We'll talk with Mark Rosen when we return to the Common Man program on the.
Here, I'll be.
Pat Benatar and the Blackhearts. Joan Jett and Joan Jett was at the Blackhearts. Carly Simon. I don't know.
In the sky keeps on toying.
Mark Rosen of Channel 4 Sports, your whole life just sports fan.
Good afternoon.
So, of all the proposed Big Meow trades, which one do you like best?
I haven't heard any of them.
What? Well, you know he's getting traded.
No, he's not.
He doesn't like it here. He does not like it here.
He doesn't like Minneapolis. He's like playing for the Timberwolves. He doesn't like playing for Tibbs.
What's the Tibbs is running the show, so right. It's up to Tibbs.
You know what? My advice to Carl Anthony Towns, suck it up.
Of course you'd say that.
Well, yes. I mean, he's got 2 years to go on his contract. I mean, guess what? I have no idea the depth of any of this stuff, and it's all speculation, and it's all it is.
I don't know.
He's not going anywhere.
I don't know.
Life lessons are to be learned. You're 23 years old. Do you want to tell the world how many bosses you worked for that maybe you didn't get along with? And the difference is he's getting paid millions of dollars. Just let things ride out a little bit. Let's take a deep breath. Let's see how things evolve here. This team was vastly improved, and had Jimmy Butler not been hurt, they probably would have won 50 games. Now, are there issues to be ironed out? Yes, that's life. I don't want to play. First of all, we haven't heard from Carl Anthony Towns.
Go ahead. Here's your trade scenario. This is a three-team trade package.
Oh, can't wait to hear this.
Wolves get Kawhi Leonard and Matt Dellavedova. Meanwhile, the Spurs get Big Meow, Tony Snell, and Eric Bledsoe. Milwaukee gets Jeff Teague and Pau Gasol.
Ah, I see.
All the salaries match up.
Sure.
Everything matches up. Everybody's happy in that scenario, aren't they?
I love Kawhi Leonard. That's great.
And Matt Dellavedova?
I think he's a throw-in, but...
What do you mean he's a throw-in?
He's a throw-in. He can shoot the ball a little bit.
Can shoot the ball a little bit. We need three-point shooting. I love that deal.
Yeah. I think San Antonio is about to offer... speaking of... Now, there's some real friction. That's a whole different level. We don't know exactly what's happening, but I read that they were going to offer Kawhi Leonard a max deal.
How about this?
Yes.
Towns goes to the LA Lakers. We get Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and Josh Hart.
Yuck.
It's a youth movement.
Are you kidding me?
Look,
let's start all over again with that god awful trade.
It's 3-for-1. How is that god awful?
Because Carl Anthony Towns is worth a lot more than any of those three put together. That's why?
Ingram and Kuzma both showed that they're talented young players. Talented young players.
There's a reason why Carl Anthony Towns was number one overall draft pick. He's just figuring
out. But he doesn't want to be here.
You don't know that.
And he's going to leave in a couple years if you don't get something for him now.
You got plenty of time to deal with
that. Okay, how about this one?
Okay,
let's cut a deal with
the
Miami Heat.
Oh, this ought to be good.
What do you think of this?
Dwayne Wade?
We get Hassan Whiteside.
Oh, boy.
Is it Goran Dragic?
Dragic.
And Justice Winslow, we get rid of Carl Anthony Towns, Gorgie Dang, and Jeff Teague.
Terrible trade.
I'd call it a classic panic trade, but
yes. That really solves your guard problem. I guess, Dragic can play. He's a good shooter.
Okay, maybe you'd like this better.
Okay.
Trade with the New York Knickerbockers.
They're horrible.
They get Porzingis? Towns in Gorgie. We get Kristaps Porzingis and Joakim Noah. Or is it Joakim Noah?
Whatever you want to call him.
What do you think of that?
Another Porzingis former and Bull. Noah.
We like former Bulls here.
We love our former Bulls.
What do you think of Porzingis and Noah?
Porzingis is very good when he's healthy. I still take Carl
Anthony Towns. Less of an expert than Chuck Barkley said that Towns has got to get in the gym.
Well, he does. No one disagrees with that. But he's got a wealth of talent. He's only 23 years old.
No. Towns.
22, whatever he is.
He's,
for a big man, he's got a lot of talent.
Towns has peaked.
That's
all we're going to get out of him.
Okay.
You're not going to get any more out of that.
Wow.
Well, what do you think more you're going to get out of him? Or do you think we got a combination?
He's going to get
Kareem,
his man muscles
Abdul,
pretty
Jabbar,
soon.
Lou Els, man muscle. Oh, please. He's 23 years old. He's a man already. You think we're going to get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Els Cinder, and
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Who's the big guy that's on the Shaq Diesel O'Neal?
Yeah. No.
That's what you think he's going to be?
No, I don't. But he's got a different set of skills. And none of the trades you've proposed. I mean, the Kawhi Leonard, yeah, I'd be real interested in Kawhi Leonard. I don't see that happening.
Can't you see? How about this? Porzingis, Noah, Butler, Michael Rose, Jalen Rose, what's his name?
Yeah.
Derrick Rose.
I think Karl-Anthony Towns has some growing up to do, which is fine, as most young people, young players have. And whatever issues he has, I'm sure they're trying to iron things out and talk about it with him. I mean, the bigger question marks before all this happened last week and a half was about Andrew Wiggins, the max deal. Are the Timberwolves really, have we gone to that point already where they're thinking about trading him? And what could you get for him with a max deal? What teams would be interested in that?
Where's Woj Bomb?
Pardon?
Didn't we have one that said Woj Bomb and we replaced it with Com Bomb? Do you have a Woj Bomb?
That hurt my ears.
See if we can find Woj Bomb. 3, 2, 1. He was on the Rosillo show today, and here's what he said. I think their owner would trade management coach before they would trade Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't think they would allow that. No. I just don't believe they'd allow that kind of decision.
No.
And I don't know that they'd want to trade him. He's Karl-Anthony Towns. They're not moving him. Towns is eligible for his extension this summer. You know, Jimmy Butler, it's more of a question of Andy Wiggins. That, to me, would be if someone's going to get moved. And I'm not saying anyone's going to get moved. I think Andrew Wiggins is the one you're going to look at first because you don't have to make a decision on Towns and Jimmy Butler and one of those guys having to take less on an extension because you can't have three max guys. That's what Woj thinks.
I agree with him. I don't think there's any chance in hell that Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be traded.
But Karl-Anthony Towns and management, if you believe the two guys from CBS Sports, who I don't know them from Adam, they think that there's a disconnect between...
Maybe there is a disconnect. Guess what? This is the first player coach at this level that has a disconnect.
So you want the guy that is supposedly supposed to be, I mean, we know that Jimmy Butler right now at this moment is your alpha male, but that your number one guy that you're building the franchise around has a disconnect with ownership and management,
well, if you're
and you're going to still say, we're going to force the square peg into the round hole. That's why these guys force trades. Why do you think Garnett left? Because Garnett said, I don't want to play here.
He wanted to win, and wanted to win now.
Well, and my guess is Karl-Anthony Towns wants to win.
How much of Glenn Taylor's money did Kevin Garnett get and receive?
Well, there's that.
And it was more about Marbury leaving because Marbury was jealous that Garnett was making more money than him.
But then Garnett did leave.
Well, eventually he did, yeah, because he gave him everything he had in this franchise for how many years?
Well, maybe.
He didn't.
Maybe Big Meow.
He wasn't in his second or third year.
Maybe Big Meow's patience is not quite as
long. Well, then my advice to Karl-Anthony Towns is settle down, big man. Settle down. Take a deep breath. Understand what life in the NBA is about. That the grass is not greener somewhere else necessarily. That because you don't get along famously right now with the head coach. I'm not defending Tibbs to the nth degree here. I'm just saying that, first of all, there's no way in hell they're going to trade him. Secondly, I don't think the relationship is fractured. We don't think it's at that point right now. We don't know exactly what they're doing. He might be getting advice from his dad. We don't know what the extent of all this stuff is. You got a lot of people when you're that age in this world we live in right now. There's a lot of entitlement that you have.
What if he's getting advice from old man Ball? What's his name? What's the old man's name, Tenneby? Do you remember? Ball guy.
LeVar?
Yeah. LeVar.
What if he's getting advice from LeVar Burton right now?
LeVar Burton?
Or, I mean, LeVar. LeVar.
They're talking about
Ball.
Him being available in a trade. Should we trade for LeVar Ball or whatever his name is?
LeVar Ball?
Yeah.
Straight up for Big Meow? Or do we need more than that?
Slightly more. Like,
all right.
The next.
How about his two brothers?
No.
So we have three Ball brothers.
That would really be wonderful.
When I started balling, I was.
We'll see
young,
if one can play in the NBA for a few years.
All right.
Just take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Not happening.
So you don't think he's going anywhere?
No. No, I don't. Okay. No. I mean, again, this is, he has plenty of time to have the discontent build up over the next couple of years. And if it's that bad, I think we'll all know about it before that. It's still going to be a very interesting summer, don't get me wrong, for the Timberwolves, what they have to do to improve this team and improve their three-point shooting, as you mentioned. That's priority number one.
Again, how are they going to improve that?
Signing a free agent. That's how. Perhaps making a trade. They have to be very active.
Well, we just had several trade offers. I just offered you.
They're all involved Karl-Anthony Towns,
we can get Dellavedova. You want a three-point shooter, we can get Matt Dellavedova right
okay.
now today.
All right, yeah, trading Karl-Anthony Towns.
We could get Matt Dellavedova and
great.
Kawhi Leonard. Right.
Boy, am I glad you're not in charge of anything. Who would you trade at the station? You'd probably trade Tana B.
Never Tana B.
No.
Okay. You, on the other hand.
You
aging veteran. Don't have a lot left.
I got a whole lot left. I'm still bringing the heat.
Well, that's true.
takes up a lot of the salary cap.
Well, it's a lot of the salary cap.
Oh, please.
Cap. Top heavy.
Please. I got crumbs after you guys.
Well, there's that.
Is on the disabled list a lot?
On the disabled list a lot.
Huh.
Well, I guess we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I guess so. Out. Meanwhile,
back at the ranch.
Your death lineup last night.
What happened?
Well, first of all, Iguodala did not play, and I think they did miss him.
Oh, that's right. It wasn't the complete death
lineup. No, it was not, but it was...
Death lineup.
They died.
It was finally, we had a game.
Yeah, but was it really a game?
Hell yes, it was a game.
Well, it was.
Did you watch the end of it? The fourth quarter? They were down. Houston was getting beat by 12 points, and they came back and beat them in Golden State. Was it a game?
Did you watch last 3 minutes of the
game? Well, I was on. I had to go on the set in the last minute, but I watched. Tried to watch it out of the corner of my eye.
Let me recap. Three-point shot, clank. Three-point shot, clank.
I'm done.
Three-point shot, clank. Three-point shot, clank. That's
for Golden State.
But my point is, no, Houston three-point shot, make 3 points. All they do is throw up three-pointer after three.
Well, I
no
don't,
basketball.
Well,
It was exciting. I'll say there was excitement because, boy, they were down and then they were up and then they were down. But
Harden drove the lane a couple times. Ariza did. Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at the box score. Okay, so let's see here. Houston was 12 of 38 three-pointers. Golden State was 9 of 27. So, yeah, 65 three-pointers in that game.
Yeah.
There's your game.
But that's my point. I mean,
and I get what you're
and
saying.
I like three-pointers. Don't get me wrong. They're fine.
I understand.
Basketball would be extinct if they wouldn't have brought in a three-point shot, and I like it. But that's all these two teams do. There's no real basketball played anymore. And it's the same. And again,
I disagree.
Here's what happens. Harden or Curry, this is what they do. Stand there and they go back and forth with the ball from the right hand, and they sway their body back.
I know where
and then Curry stands in Harden's face.
Right.
I ain't giving you an inch. And then back and forth. And then Harden does the with one with his foot, and then he fades back and either makes the three or doesn't.
No, or else he'll pass the ball to. He'll definitely try to drive the lane many times and try to pass the ball off to Capella. He does. I don't know how many assists he had last
night. Occasionally they do. And then
I just thought it was the same thing.
I'll show you.
Well, Curry got a little ahead of himself last night. They're doing a little shimmy time when it wasn't really.
You think that you can do that? Well, watch me do it too.
Right.
And they back and forth. It's just.
All right. Well, don't watch.
Well, no, I'm just saying. But no, but again, the point I'm trying to make is you and me look at the score and the back and forth and say, finally a game. Yeah,
yes,
it was better than what we've seen. But this ain't Celtics Lakers.
That was real basketball. I don't disagree with what the three-point shot has done with these two teams in particular, but I still think we have enough flashes of resolve, especially defensively. Houston had to make some really, you talk about defense, and we don't see a lot of it during the regular season or fourth quarter. Houston tightened the screws on Golden State last night, and there were many times when there was so much a three-point shot late in that game when they were making that rally, where Golden State didn't have a lot of options, three-point or not. They were shutting them down. They were in their face, and that's what I'd like to see. That was kind of more old-school basketball on the defensive side, which is how Houston has to play. Now, do I think they're going to win the series? No. I still think, and I predicted, Golden State in seven? You scoffed and ridiculed me, but I still think it's going to be Golden State.
I scoffed. I ridiculed. I admit.
No, again, I don't. I mean, you can quantify how much Iguodala they did miss him. He's got a lot to do with the success of that team. But there was a great moment earlier in the game when Harden went in and slammed the ball over Draymond Green, and people went nuts about that particular play. It wasn't so much that we saw a guy slam dunk a basketball, which we see over and over and over again, but the fact was Green, who's kind of the arch enemy for Houston, and the way everybody reacted to that particular play. And I just think we did have a competitive game. You can
play competitive
any way you want.
It was competitive.
I get it.
It was better than what we'd been treated to before.
Correct.
But yeah, if you like that stuff, I guess. And then is it the Cavs play tonight, or they play 3 weeks from tonight? I mean,
it's tonight.
They put so many games.
I know it's crazy.
Games. Tonight it's
in Boston,
and this is back at Boston. Do you know Boston is 37-0 when they win the first two games of any series?
And I think when they talked to Parrish, McHale, and Bird about that, they're pretty excited about what they could do if they help Boston continue that streak tonight.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to mean anything
it
tonight.
Doesn't.
But what do you think? Do you think Boston?
It's again. I think after we've seen,
I'm back on the on the LeBron bandwagon. I'm sorry.
We pretty much had four blowouts in those games, and it's pretty hard not to look at LeBron at this point and seeing what he's doing and understanding this place in basketball history. Not having an opportunity to win the game again tonight. But who's the pressure on? Pressure's on the Celtics, squarely on the Celtics tonight. With a 2-2 series, knowing full well that Cleveland wins tonight, go back on their home court.
I think it's over then, isn't it?
That's what people thought again, like last night.
We have a couple of
really competitive series.
It's a series.
Yeah. So I don't know what to think. Boston's been a completely different team at home, and they're a lot. They're not an old school Parrish, McHale, Bird team.
No,
you got a lot of young Turks along with Al Horford and those guys. But they play the game more the way that I think you appreciate it than some of the...
I got the basketball Jones is what I got.
Correct.
So, all right. Well, there's that then.
Yeah.
There's much more to get to.
Absolutely.
With Mark Rosen. I think I have the truth, the whole truth, or some semblance of the truth about the Minnesota Twins. I'll bounce my theory off of you when we come back here on the Common Man program with Mark Rosen and Tana B. And comment on the fan.
Twins won yesterday, so today go to PapaJohns.com, put in the online promo code TWINSWIN, and you'll get 50% off a large or extra large pizza.
Pink Floyd, Elton John, Dr. John, Major Tom.
Ground control.
Do you say David Bowie or David Bowie?
Bowie.
All right, just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Do you say
the late great David?
Do you say Bowie knife or Bowie knife? It's a Bowie knife. That's what it is.
Bowie knife.
Bowie. So, I know we know this already, but I think the last two nights have really been kind of proof positive. As excited as we were about the Twins last year in the second half of that season, where they did play well, I'm not taking anything away
sure.
from them. And we got some nice performances, and we were excited this year with some of our acquisitions and the bullpen and the starting staff and Lomo. But last two nights proved once again, when you have Kansas City, Detroit, and Chicago to beat up on, you can look like a really good team. Not to say the Twins don't have talent and aren't a good team, but a lot can go. You can ride a ship that's listing when we start playing these teams. Detroit's batting 161 in the series. They've been shut out seven times already this year. Lance Lynn, who'd been struggling to beat the band,
looks like
Christy Mathewson last night. And again, it's not the Twins' fault.
It's not his fault, no.
They didn't put those rosters together.
If that's what it takes for him and mentally to kind of figure things out, we'll find out in his next start. I assume he probably won't pitch until Kansas City. They got Seattle this weekend. They're off
Kansas tomorrow. City's got, 13, 14 wins?
Yeah, they're not very good either. But, I mean, he still has to, it doesn't matter who's at plate. He's still at the plate. He still has to throw the ball over and get people out. But and they're losing this afternoon, so it's not like it's...
Oh, we are?
They're losing 3-1. Bottom of the seventh, yeah. So they've only scored one run against the Tigers this afternoon. But, yeah, I mean, it's – and without – who knows how long Maurer is going to be out. Sano sounds like he'll be – potentially could even be up this weekend. Santana's still a ways away. Obviously, Polanco's not coming back till midseason. Who am I missing here? Young guys, some of the younger guys are getting chances. Mm-hmm. But it's about their pitching staff. And they were, I think Blylevin and Morris were, both making the point last night. And Gibson's, he gave up a two-run homer this afternoon. But overall, he's pitching well. I mean, you give up three runs in six innings. That's fine. You should be able to be at a team like that or certainly be in the game right now. But when you throw in the expected arrival of Santana in a short period of time, and you do have Odorizzi, Berríos, Gibson, Santana, Lynn, it's not a bad starting staff. It's nothing that's going to – it's not the Houston Astros.
Right.
They don't have a stud. Houston's got three of them. At least, but it's better than what we've seen around here. Certainly, even compared to a year ago, and this time of year, even though the Twins had a better record a year ago, what was the record a year ago? They were 25-19. Then they really fell on hard times. When they started off pretty well, then they really hit the skids. Remember, they were sellers at the trading deadline. Dozier got upset, other
players, yep.
And then they surprised all of us by, in the face of all that, came back and played really good baseball the second half. So I think the roster continues to take shape. We'll see what Alfalvi and Levine handle this stuff. They sign. I mean, Nick Gordon, I think, is a guy that you got to keep your eye on. He's now up to AAA. I know you feel like they probably won't bring him up. They acquired this Chris Carter from the Angels for just a strictly money situation. He's a guy who hits a lot of home runs. Probably seen his better days. Obviously, the Angels aren't going to send him here for cash. He's down in the minors. But a bat that they need, I think desperately need at least a perception of more power in their lineup. And hopefully when Sano comes back, he'll provide that if he can start making contact with the ball.
You and I always, back in my day, we wax nostalgic
sure.
about certain eras or certain players. Somebody sent me this the other day, and I just looked it up again on the phone. We always talk about Bob Gibson.
Yes.
St. Louis Cardinal, great.
That's unbelievable.
A little bit better than Kyle.
A little bit. Just a little.
And no offense to Kyle, just how good Bob Gibson was.
Well,
1968,
incredible.
When he had an ERA of 1.12 for the year, and he went 2-1 in the World Series. He was beaten by Mickey Lolich in Game 7. He struck out 17 Tigers in Game 1 of the 68 World Series, which is a record that stands to this day, most strikeouts in a single
amazing.
World Series game. But his totals for June and July, it's astonishing. In June of 68, he was 6-0 with a 0.50 ERA.
God.
He had 9 inning complete game wins at Dodgers, at Giants, versus Astros, versus Mets, versus Phillies, versus Mets.
Incredible.
All complete games.
Right.
Every one, 9 innings.
I'm sure the bullpen never even had to get up.
Then in July, it was 6-0. Or no, were those the July and these are August? I can't tell now. Because this says 8-4 of 68 versus the Cubs.
Huh.
He went 11 innings.
Wow. Nobody talked about pitch count when he was on the
mound. No. He didn't get a decision there.
Gibby, you're over 100. Time to sit down.
He beat the Braves.
Let Shane Deese would go out and talk to him.
He beat the Braves in 9 innings and they didn't score a run, a shutout. Beat the Cubs in 9 innings. They got 1 run. Beat the Phillies in 9 innings, a shutout.
And those were damn good lineups he was facing.
He beat the Pirates.
They were expansion teams.
In 9 innings with a shutout.
Right.
And then, he lost to the Pirates and didn't, he gave up 3 runs in that game. He lost twice. And then at the Pirates, he again went the distance mm-hmm. without giving up a run. It's just astonishing. Now again, that the next baseball though, after the 68 season, if you'll remember, that's when they lowered the pitching mound. Because
right.
they said, yeah. This is
unfair.
Dominant. McLean 131. Gibson's destroying people. And,
right.
and we're losing fans because we need offense. That's when they first started saying we need offense.
And when did they add the DH? Because Tony Oliva.
That was like in 71.
Because Tony Oliva had a chance
yeah.
to DH a little bit. The Twins went to the playoffs for the first time in 69 and 70, and I don't think they had the DH then. But yeah, that's when they did make some adjustments to the mound.
This they lowered it because the mound era. Was way up there.
Yeah, and again, they were just
staring down at them.
And obviously, a lot of people are. Chance to watch Bob Gibson pitch. He was one of the most intimidating pitchers in the history of the game because he was all arms and legs, and he'd come at you with that fierce look on his face where he would knock his grandmother over at home plate if she was crowding the plate. And that was the old, before they would warn the pitchers about a brushback, he would throw a ball under your chin and just glare at you. And I dare you to get that close to the plate again. And then you throw one on the outside corner, and the batter would have zero chance.
Zero. Yeah. None.
He was that dominant.
Here's a phone call from LJB guy. LJB, you're on the Fan.
Gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Hey, quick trivia question. Since you're talking about Bowie, if you remember the Twin Towers, Sam Bowie, and who was the second Twin Tower?
Ralph Sampson. Nope. Samson and Delilah.
I think you got your Twin Towers messed up.
Yep, these are Kentucky Twins. No, not Kentucky. Where are they at? Kentucky, right? Mel Turpin.
Oh, Mel Turpin.
Do you remember Mel Turpin?
I remember the name. I don't remember anybody associated with
it. Mel Turpin was the middleweight champion of the world back in 1952. Who are you talking about? Oh, wait, that was Randy Turpin.
I got two quick ones now. First, last night, you said you saw the last minute of the Houston game.
You talking to me or Common?
Common, I think, was the one who said.
Yeah, I was on the air in the last minute.
I watched it.
You see the D'Antoni at the end, okay? They foul, and right at the end, last shot goes up, and they foul Houston right at the end, Paul, and he goes to the line with 0.5 seconds left at the other end, and they have him make the free throw.
Right.
So Golden State gets to call a timeout and bring it back to half court, and it's lucky it wasn't my man Larry Bird shooting because he would have made. He had a wide open 3-point shot to basically end the series. You know, and it's like, why would you not crank that free throw? What are they going to do? Throw it the whole length of the court?
Yeah, it was a mistake.
Well, why? Yeah,
it was a mistake.
I was on the air when that happened. I was reading about it. I saw the highlights. I'm still trying to figure it out because I thought the game was over after Thompson missed right before the buzzer went off, but
yeah, and then they put another half second back.
Right, but why would you make that free throw?
Yeah, why? What's the point?
Are you I don't know.
One if they make the three anyway. But I was with Towns. I mean, it's kind of disappointing this whole thing. But you hit it on the head, Rosie. It's like he needs to calm down. Look around the league. He used to be a couple years ago. I would want to start a franchise with this guy. And over the last year, Embiid and Davis have both overtaken him as young centers and are just working their asses off.
I agree.
Mitchell, Tatum, Brown, Davis. Well, I said Davis, Oladipo, all these young guys who are transcending teams and just have the two games he had to start off against Houston where he looked like he was complete deer in the headlights.
Right. Right.
And to then suddenly be like, hey, what's going on? I don't know how much of it's really true. I mean, it's just these guys waxing nostalgic about what they supposedly know about the inside of the league. But you're right. Calm down. Get in the gym. Come back. And let's, you know, lead the team. And then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, right? Easy for you to say, LJB. Yeah. Guy. Thanks, Brian. Easy for you to tell the kid what to do. Everybody wants to tell Karl Anthony Towns what to do. He's his own man.
Yeah, but he's also employed by the Timberwolves. And
for now.
Well, yes. And
but what if he doesn't want to be?
Well, a lot of people don't want to be doing things. And I don't think it's the worst job that you could possibly have. And I think he's got plenty of time to figure out what is. He's got to get better no matter what happens to his career down the road. And he knows that. It's not a matter of not wanting it. Karl Anthony Towns is driven to be as good as he could possibly be. I don't think anyone's going to question his work ethic. I mean, he wants to be great. He's getting there already. And yeah, he's got room to grow. I mean, not literally, but from a basketball standpoint, it's a man's game. It's, you know, you see these kids come out of college after 1 year. Some have success right away. Others take more than that, especially big men often. And Anthony Davis is a stud, but Karl Anthony Towns has a different set of skills as well. So I don't think anyone should be backing off the fact that Karl Anthony Towns is still and should be the face of this franchise for years to come.
Well.
And, well, you know, again, the Tibbs stuff is, he's the boss right now. I mean, that's just the way it is. You'll have plenty of time down the road to explore other options when you're 25 years old. It's not like it's the end of the end.
Randy Turpin was 66-8-1, 45 knockouts.
He really was a boxer?
Yeah.
You're good at that stuff.
Randy Turpin.
I never heard of him. Honestly, what year did he box?
He was in the 50s. Oh, one of the best middleweights of all time.
I have no, I remember Emil Griffith back
then. Died at the age of 37.
Oh, that's sad.
He was from, he was an English boxer.
Yeah.
Oh, lost to, his losses were, I know he lost to Sugar Ray
Andy
Robinson.
Turpin.
I'm sure, yeah. He lost to Bobo Olsen. 15 round decision.
Man.
October 21st, 1953.
Before we had television.
Yeah. He beat Robinson once.
Sugar Ray?
He beat Robinson on September, on July 10th of 51 on a points decision, 15 rounds.
Wow.
They fought again 2 months later, and Robinson knocked him out in the 10th round. TKO, the referee stopped the fight.
Thanks for that. But he won the nostalgia lane.
He won the middleweight title a couple of different times.
Huh.
Stop it. I don't want to win free stuff.
Are you getting that crap on your phone?
They want to give me free stuff.
Oh, it's so legit.
I don't have it. Stop it. I don't want to
win. Did you
win
an iPad? Did you win an iPad or an iPhone?
They tried to give me something. And
it's amazing. Yeah. You're the only person that's ever received that on your telephone.
When we come back.
My favorite thing with Common is when something like that happens, he thinks hitting it harder is going to stop it.
It's like their dad used to hit the top of the TV.
Did it not stop? Of course, the screen on the phone is completely dark, but it stopped.
Go out the TV and your dad would go,
yes.
Just smack the top of the TV.
It worked.
It did work.
That's all I know. What was the other topic I had for Rosen that I forgot about? We did the trade topic. It's football-related NFL with Rosen Vikings next on The Fan.
He covers the Minnesota sports beat with the passion of an 8-year-old. It's Mark Rosen with the Common Man on The Fan.
KFAN and Coors Light are partnering with Conservation Minnesota to preserve Minnesota's lakes. Follow at Coors Light on Twitter using the hashtag BeerSavesLakes, and Coors Light will donate $1 to Conservation Minnesota for every post. For more details, visit KFAN.com, keyword lakes.
Carlos Santana. Don Henley. Burton Cummings. Let's do that giveaway. 11th caller. And when Tenneby answers the phone, just say, I'm in. And if you're the 11th caller and say, I'm in, you're going to win a pair of Twins tickets at the Budweiser deck thanks to our friends at the Minnesota State Lottery. Call 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. If you're the 11th caller and when Tenneby answers and you go, I'm in, you'll win those tickets to the Twins game at the Budweiser desk. Call right now. Email reads as follows. Rosie, I'm guessing that Towns mostly just doesn't like playing for a coach who screams at him all the time. That type of coach isn't in vogue in the NBA anymore, Rosie. Stop sticking up for Tibbs and treating him like he's some kind of reincarnated Red Auerbach or 2018 version of Phil Jackson or John Kundla. Tibbs needs to be gone, Rosie. Just admit it, or else Cat will be gone eventually. Count on it.
Well, wait a minute. You're talking about screaming at him.
He is all the time.
When you watch a game, you actually see Tibbs screaming at Carl Anthony Towns?
At everybody.
He's mostly screaming at the officials, and he gets into the game differently. There are old school coaches.
The game's passed Tibbs by.
Okay. Well, maybe it has. I don't know ultimately how to judge. Tibbs has a pretty good understanding of his team and how the game is played and what is expected of them.
Okay.
At the same time, there are things that have happened, I think, in watching him. There are old school coaches still in the league, and I guess you start at the top with the Greg Popovich of the world. Popovich is who mostly just sits there, but can be extremely critical of his team after a game. where you may not see Popovich scream at anyone, but it doesn't mean he's any less critical of his players afterwards, constructively or otherwise. You know, and I know it is fashionably in right now to say, run Tibbs out of town. Well, better, easier said than done. He's not just the head coach. He's got a much bigger title than that. So it hasn't been that long. I'm not ready to say that he's forgotten how to coach or what he's doing or his style isn't going to work because, again, what was expected from this team? And had, again, a big if, had Butler stayed healthy, they would have won. They probably would have been a fourth seed. So maybe you win a first-round series against Portland, then you get blown out by one of the top teams in the league. They're not there. Everybody understands that. But I don't think it was a colossal failure for this team with injuries and a roster that still needs more than, in the words of the Minnesota Wild, finishing touches on this roster. But considering where they've been since 2004, yeah, and Tibbs will be judged in the next year or two on wins and losses and playoff success and also player acquisitions, player moves. He's got a lot of authority over there. As I said, he's not just the coach. So,
are you familiar with
the breaks a little bit?
Fox News contributor Tommy Lauren, is that how you say her name? Familiar with her?
Who's that again?
Tommy Lauren.
I know who it is. Yeah.
You heard what happened here in Minneapolis, right? Are you up to date on the story?
That it happened. Wait, the glass of water?
Yeah.
That was here?
Yeah.
I really did not know
that. Well, you did not know that?
No. I haven't been paying that much attention to it.
Well, you might want to start paying attention.
Why?
To it.
Why? I don't
know. Because the story's from your station out of Minneapolis.
Oh, it's fine. I don't.
Water. Profanities thrown at Fox News contributor Tommy Lauren in Minneapolis.
I think it's Tammy.
Is it Tammy?
Yeah.
Well, spelled T-O-M-I. I think it's Tommy.
I thought it was T-A-M-I.
No, it's Tommy.
I said, I don't know. I have no idea.
I've never met a Tommy that's quite this.
Where did this happen?
Tommy Lauren's trip to Minneapolis did not end well. The day after the Fox News contributor appeared at a Family Freedom and Final Thought show at Pantages, she visited the Union Restaurant in downtown Minneapolis for Sunday brunch.
Right across the street.
It's Tommy.
It is Tommy? Yes. Well, see, I mean, there you go. You know a whole lot more about her than I do.
As she and her parents were making their way out, someone threw water on her, splashing both her and her mother. She's known for her controversial opinions, by the way.
Yes, she is.
Says she's 25.
Is that all she is?
In 2016, she called Black Lives Matter the new KKK. She's a shock jock.
Right.
She talked about the incident on Fox and Friends Wednesday morning.
I really did not know it was here.
Unfortunately, there was a group of people around my age who thought it would be funny to throw water at me and start chanting profanity. Not something that I'm used to, but very disheartening. Lauren says the people who threw water just wanted their 15 minutes of fame.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you don't have to like me. You don't have to like my political opinions, but you don't have the right to throw things at me. And is that the end of the story? Isn't there more to it than that?
I think that was kind of the end of the story.
I thought it'd be more controversial than that. That's the end of it?
I believe so. You know more about it than I do. I heard about it in passing, but I didn't even know it was here.
Yeah, it was here.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's, you don't.
You know what it is? It's those bleeding heart liberals. It's those lunatic liberals.
You can disagree with she says.
Isn't it funny how the lunatic liberals are all for freedom of speech except for when it's speech that they don't agree with? Isn't it funny?
Liberals. I think that kind of goes both ways.
Well, they do the same to, who's the oddball guy that Jonas Janopoulos? What's his name?
Yeah, he's.
What is his name again? Jonas Janopoulos.
Not the Greek freak. No, that's a different one.
He's a Greek freak, I think. I don't know. He's controversial.
Yes, he is.
And it's funny, those liberal colleges who all they care about is free speech. Anytime he gets invited to a college to speak, they always want him kicked off campus.
I'm not wading into this nonsense right now. I think you're talking about the national anthem or something. Oh. Something.
Well,
there's that.
Jets chairman Christopher Johnson says he'll pay anthem-related league fines for his players.
Is that what he said?
That's wow. This is just in. It says despite this just in from
the order.
This is Bob Glauber. He's plugged in. He's Newsday.
Sure.
Despite the NFL's approval of a revised policy that requires players on the field to stand during the national anthem, Jets chairman Christopher Johnson told Newsday on Wednesday that his players are free to take a knee or perform some other protest without fear of repercussion from the team. Johnson said, "I do not like imposing any club-specific rules. If somebody takes a knee on the Jets, somebody takes a knee, that fine will be borne by the organization, by me, not the players. I never want to put restrictions on the speech of our players. Do I prefer that they stand? Of course. But I understand if they felt the need to protest. There are some big, complicated issues that we're all struggling with, and our players are on the front lines. I don't want to come down on them like a ton of bricks, and I won't. There will be no club fines or suspensions of any sort of repercussions. If the team gets fined, that's just something I'll have to bear." Your thoughts?
I don't know. I this whole situation has, to me, gotten so out of hand from where from its origin and what the intent was. And having talked to a number of veterans who, I've talked to some who on both sides, but I've talked to definitely some who said, this is what we fought for the right for people to have a social stance. I think what was lost in translation was that they were not disrespecting the flag. They were very upset about what was happening with police and social issues in our country. It wasn't a anti-American stance. It was a statement they had made, and a lot of it originated, obviously, with Colin Kaepernick. And for the NFL to kind of take this overall stand, I'm not sure, again, it's a rhetorical question and statement, if it was necessary to do anything. I'm suggesting that maybe it would have just sort of found its own place as time went on. And if players decided to kneel, a couple of them, and I think for the most part, it probably would have come and gone. And I'm not sure. Maybe they felt there was too much public pressure, that they heard that Roger Goodell, using the vernacular, using the word, caved to the public pressure as opposed to what the players' union may or may not have felt about it. That may have been the case. But I just think it, I'm saying what the issue would have gone away. I never thought of it as time went on as that big of a deal. And one way or another, I'm there to cover a football game. If people want to stand, want to kneel, I don't really care. I mean, because I understand why they were doing it, and then they went on about their business. And for the most part, I think a lot of them who did kneel at earlier on stopped kneeling, or it wasn't a sign of weakness that they stood for the national anthem, because it really wasn't about the anthem, wasn't about the flag, was about their own protest of what they observed in our, what was happening in our country. So again, like I said, I heard from veterans who defended the hell out of their right to do that.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Indeed,
so I think that's what was lost in translation. So the NFL, they're saying now they could fine a player, team personnel, they use their term, do not show respect for the anthem. They could stay in the locker room, right? That's the whole situation. They could stay in the locker room until the anthem is over.
What I find interesting about it is I think the owners and the league, the purpose of doing this was to kind of squash the anthem story and not have it being an issue anymore. I think they're just going to create a bigger issue even more.
That's my point.
Because I do think it was virtually non-existent by the end of last year.
I totally agree, Ted. That was my point. I think that there were still some players. Now, the Vikings all stood. I don't know. This whole thing with the anthem and look, a lot of these players are socially involved in a lot of different causes, and I think it's good. I think when players speak up one way or another about it, I think it's helpful. They have a big place in our daily lives.
Emailer says, "Don't rule out the possibility that the water throwing incident was all set up to give Tommy some sympathetic publicity."
Controversial.
Above average at that.
She's a lightning rod. She's controversial.
That she is. And that's all I'm going
to
say about it.
We have reached a political age where I don't know what to believe anymore.
What's fake news? What's true? What's fake? What's set up?
I don't know.
Because it's fake news.
Because there are hired protesters.
We know.
Yeah.
And we know who the fake news people are out there.
You're looking at one.
Yeah, that's you.
I'm fraud. I'm not fake. I hit my own sound button. That was pretty cool.
Now, did you see this one? We're getting politically controversial here at the end. We do it late in the show, so we just turn it over to Big Ticket. But I don't know if you saw this story. This is sort of the big headline right now. Oh, wait, it's not an email. It's a... President Donald Trump cannot block Twitter users for the political views they have expressed. It's what a federal judge in Manhattan ruled today. Blocking users from... Can you imagine this?
I just can't believe we're reading these headlines in this world we live in right now.
Blocking users from viewing his Twitter account, a feature offered by the social media platform, man, is unconstitutional and a violation of the First Amendment, according to Judge Naomi Reese Buchwald, wrote in her ruling. Let me guess. She's one of those liberal... what do they call them?
Snowflakes.
Yeah, but liberal...
I don't...
Whatever. A liberal judge. That's what she is.
Oh, a liberal judge. Okay. All right.
While we must recognize and are sensitive to the president's personal First Amendment, amendment rights, he cannot exercise those rights in a way that infringes the corresponding First Amendment rights of those who have criticized him. That's what Buchholz wrote. Mm. The government had argued that blocked individuals could still access the president's tweets. The judge agreed but said that even considering the president's First Amendment rights, preventing users from interacting directly with him on Twitter represented a violation of a real, albeit narrow, slice of speech. The case had been brought up by the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University. What do you think? The president's bitter on Twitter.
I don't...
He's bitter on Twitter. Tenneby, can you play bitter on Twitter?
Who would have thought we would ever have a discussion surrounding a statement that you just made?
I love it.
I mean, it really is Rod Serling's Twilight Zone, how many years later? And that's what I keep thinking about.
Here it is, play it.
He was way ahead of his time.
On the holiday.
Bitter on Twitter.
President's bitter.
Bitter on Twitter. Oh, he's bitter on it.
That's a daily occurrence.
Yeah. I just think it's so funny. See, if you ever look at a like Minnesota State Amateur or the Minnesota State Open, if you look at you know, who's in the field, like trying to qualify,
right,
they'll have the name of the player and then they'll say what club they're with. They might belong to Burl Oaks. They might belong to Minnetonka.
Sure.
They might belong to Interlock. It might belong to Brookview. Maybe Prestwick. Then there's ones that say unattached. Unattached means you don't belong to a club.
Right. I've seen it many times.
When it comes to a political party, I'm unattached. There's no R or D next to mine. So I can laugh at Tommy Lauren, and I can laugh at Hillary Clinton.
You do.
And I can laugh at Kathy Griffin, and laugh at Donald Trump.
Honestly,
it's so funny.
Honestly, and that's what's missing.
The people that take it so seriously are the ones that I just...
I'm not going to wade into the political stuff, but you're absolutely right. That's what's missing today, is that it's, in our lack of political discourse that we have, is that nobody laughs anymore about anything. It's so damn serious all the time about everything. As the Joker said in Dark Knight, why so serious? I mean, that's right?
Yeah.
This young man sitting next to me. Lighten up. Let's smile. Have some fun.
What
I do every day on this program.
You do indeed. You grimace every once in a while.
You make me grimace once
in a while. You roll your eyes, shrug your shoulders, and shake your head often.
Throw a tweet the tantrum once in a while.
Yeah, bitter on Twitter.
Bitter on Twitter.
Hey, thanks, Rosie. We'll see you tomorrow.
My pleasure. I will be here, yes.
It'd be good to have you back in.
Thank
you. Is it Wednesday today?
It is Wednesday.
We'll see you on Boys Day. Tenneby, thanks for having me.
Hey, great job.
You too. We're back tomorrow, 12 noon. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hang around, though. Enjoy the rest of your day and stay with us. Dan Brown and JG are next.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Listen back to a podcast of today's show. Visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.